Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
So we're going to read a little bit of Scripture. We normally are beginning text isn't this long, but I'd encourage you to go back and read 1 Chronicles 16. But let's kind of look at this. We're going to read different kind of segments and not read the whole chapter to make it a little easier to get through. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to begin in verse 8. And it says this: "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him, yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. Exult in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. Remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles and His rulings He has given. You children of His servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, His chosen ones." We're going to skip down to verse 23. "Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things He does. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of the other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Verse 27, "Honor and majesty surround Him. Strength and joy fill His dwelling." I'm going to skip down to verse 31. "Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout His praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth." Verse 34, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." We're going to read verse 34 together. I want you to read it out loud with me. We're going to read it in unison and read it together. Are you ready? Let's read it together. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Man, that just really gives me goosebumps. It really does. And so as we start this campaign of what it means to be really a grateful people, because if there's something we've got to get a hold of, I understand, you've heard me say this so many times, but if you are focusing in on the circumstance, what you're doing, you're magnifying the battle, the facts, or whatever is going on around you. And when we do that, when our attention is zeroed in on the struggle or the battle or the difficulty, not that those things aren't real, and not that they don't hurt, and not that sometimes it's not a struggle, because it is reality. But I'm going to tell you, if you will focus in on the Lord, what happens is to magnify the Lord means this: you are making the name of God bigger than anything you're facing. You see, you're magnifying the name of the Lord. What happens when you magnify something? You make it larger, you make it bigger. And so the name of God is bigger. His attributes, His faithfulness, His love, His power, His healing is so much greater than the circumstance that we're going through. Here recently, the last few days, my wife, if it's not Hallmark, it's some old movie. And here the last few days, it's been Pollyanna. She's like, wants to watch Pollyanna. Anybody know about Pollyanna? Anybody? She wants to watch Pollyanna so bad, and I've done everything I can to avoid it. But I was thinking about something in that movie, and when Pollyanna said this: if God took the trouble, this is Pollyanna from the movie, 1960, if God took the trouble to tell us 800 times to be glad and rejoice, He must want us to do it. I mean, isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? Most of the time, we do not magically become thankful. I mean, how do you know if you've had little kids at any point in time? You know, I mean, what do we tell our kids? Like, you know, somebody gives our kids something, we're like, tell the nice lady thank you, you know, right? And I mean, you know, and it's not, it's just our human nature. I mean, sometimes it's cute, but we train our, even, you know, they tend to be very selfish and it's very me-centered and the center of the circle. And that's why we teach our children, hey, look beyond yourself. Be thankful and grateful for the things around you. I mean, I don't, you know, there's been times, you know, my kids complain about something. I'm thinking, you better be thankful you got a roof over your head. Chase was beating me at cornhole last night, and I told him, I said, remember where you live, boy. Say thank you to the night. We teach that. We understand it's a, listen to me, it's a discipline. To be grateful is a discipline that has to be cultivated, and when it's cultivated, you reap a harvest of gratefulness. Why? And so if you become a grateful person, a person full of thanksgiving, the spiritual law is this. If you sow gratefulness, you know what you're going to reap? You're going to reap gratefulness. You're going to reap thanksgiving in your life. And so the thing is this, that's part of that journal, is that we're going to find one, and we can, you can start easy. Maybe it's a parent, mom, dad, uncle, somebody like that, and you know, a close friend that impacted you some way, and so you're going to contact them some way every day and thank them. And so to be thankful, to give thanks, the first thing I want you to understand is this, is giving thanks is a proclamation. Listen, we can have all the gratitude and gratefulness in our heart, but until it is expressed, do you hear me this morning? Because nobody responded right there. You can be grateful, you know, and you know, you ever known that? I mean, that's me sometimes. You ever have that person in your life, you know, it's like, hey, smile, you know, be happy, it's okay. I'm happy on the inside. Well, tell your face, you know. I mean, there is something, there's a proclamation that happens when we express that thanksgiving, when we express that giving thanks, when we utter that out loud. I mean, that scripture, part of in that long text that we read, you'll read these words, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. The greatness of God is not something that you can just keep hidden in your heart. It has to be something for you to proclaim. And if you really take stock and you really sit down and you really make a list, there is going to be plenty that you can be thankful for. My brother-in-law, I've used him a lot. I talk about him a lot, that he passed away some years ago of Lou Gehrig's disease. But one of the things that when he would witness to somebody, I mean, he was so full of gratitude and thankfulness of what the Lord did in his life. And he took those moments and he would just, that's how he would create that witnessing opportunity. He would tell them, hey, just let me tell you, proclaim, let me tell you what God's done in my life. See, that's proclaiming gratefulness. That's proclaiming thanksgiving. It's just telling people of what God has done in your life. When you know that you should have, when it was a near miss in a wreck, you need to express to those around you, I'm great, God had His hand on me today. I mean, there's you can find something to be thankful. Some other things this text said, I know that I'm not giving you verses, but if you go back and read it, you'll hear these words. Let the whole earth, let the whole world know what He's done. Tell everybody about His wonderful deeds. Each day proclaim, not just every now and then, not just every once in a while, not just when you feel like it. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. You didn't know that Scripture was prophetic about Facebook. Tell everyone about the amazing things He does. Tell the nation the Lord reigns. I mean, when you proclaim your gratefulness, it is a true form of worship. It's a true form of praise. And when we make that proclamation, when we declare that, when we proclaim thanks to God, this is the next thing, is that we do it by obeying His word. Yes, it is something we proclaim, but it's also something you live out loud in walking obedience to God and His word. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We proclaim thanks to God by giving our time and talents and treasures. See, here's the thing. If God has done something for you in your life, then you are not going to be able to hold back to give because of that. And when you give because of that, that's a proclamation of the goodness of God. And so you may not realize this. I know that, I mean, when you think of time, talents, and treasures, I mean, you're thinking of a pirate-sized chest under the big, treasure chest under the big X. But I'm going to tell you, you are blessed. You live in one of the most blessed nations in the world. And I know that we may not have any one percenters in this congregation, but I'm going to tell you that even the bottom of our socioeconomic setup here in America is still far more wealthy than other places in the world. You are blessed. You are blessed. And you have time, and you have talents, and you have treasures. Oh, that reminds me. You know where you can put that into practice? Wednesday at Trunk or Treat. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 16:29, give to the Lord the glory he deserves. It didn't stop there. You may not have caught this, but this is, we read this a while ago. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. James 1:17 tells us, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights of heaven. He never changes with the cast of the shadow. Every good gift comes from God. God is the source of everything good, and God also gives perfect gifts. That scripture, James 1:17, I really like it in the NRSV. And the NRSV, it'll be on the screen, says it this way, every generous act of giving with perfect gift. That's what our God does. And so if that's what he lavishes upon us, should we be the same that we tell our children, hey, be thankful to the nice lady. Shouldn't we be the ones that say, thank you, God? Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for what you've done for me in my life. We proclaim thanks to God by thanking whose he's used in your life. And this is so important. That's part of this, that every day you're going to thank somebody for what they've done for you in your life. I love when Paul's writing to Philippians, and you read this in Philippians 1:3. Paul wrote, I mean, this is the apostle. This is the man that wrote a lot of the New Testament and whose teachings we follow out of the New Testament. In Philippians 1:3, he says of the Philippian church, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. And you know what I want us to be? That's the kind of church I want us to be. I really do. That when people think of Odessa First Assembly, I want them to be able to say, when I think of you, I give thanks to God. And another thing is this, is giving thanks to God. It should be constant. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:15, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. I'm going to say that again. It's on the screen. Look at it. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual. Everybody say continual. Continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Yes, sometimes when you're in the middle of your circumstance, it is a sacrifice. It feels like a sacrifice. Sometimes it takes more energy than what we think we have to say, you know what, God, thank you anyway. Sometimes it is a battle and it is difficult, but if you'll get in that habit of continually being thankful, I'm going to tell you something, that circumstance will get smaller and God will get bigger. And how many of you know that nobody compares to our God? And so we thank continually, constant, give thanks to God. Your witness gives thanks to God. In our age and social media posts, yes, you know what? You can redeem social media. Don't forward the, if you love God, you know, 40 people have to like this. I can't remember. I usually just scroll past those, you know. What if during this time, during these next 30 days, if you use social media, we just bombard social media with our thankfulness to God. What if you use those three things you write down in that journal, and at three times during the day you make that your Facebook status, or your Twitter, or Instagram, or your Snap, or whatever, that I'm so far beyond what's going on now, I have no idea. Give thanks, publish, let people know the way that you live, the way that your life, give thanks to God. Giving thanks should be constant because, you know why? It requires practice. That's your next fill in the blank there. We have to practice. It does, because I'll tell you what, I know all of us are wired different ways. Some of us, you know, let's just take a poll right now. This is not rhetorical. How many of you are glass half full type people? Raise your hand. If you're a glass half type, come on, raise your hand. Be proud. All right, how many sees the glass half empty? Raise your hand. That's me. There's some of us like that. You know what? When we practice to give thanks, it changes the way we see the circumstance. That was a whole lot deeper than I think what we realize. When we practice at giving thanks, it changes the way that we see the circumstance. We need to be regular and not just a fiber thing, but giving thanks. We need thankfulness and not criticism. Some of that just went right over there. Thankfulness, not criticism. Listen, oh yeah, I bolded this. So we need thankfulness and not criticism to be our default position. We need thankfulness and not criticism to be our default. This is amazing. I remember when I was little. It's hard to believe that The Simpsons are still on. Like that was. I remember. You know, there was two things you didn't do when I was growing up. You didn't worship the devil. You didn't watch The Simpsons. I mean, you boycotted. You know, and I would try to sneak videotape. You know, VHS, Beta. Some of you are like, huh? But I'm going to tell you, you know, when I think about it, here's some people's mentality. On The Simpsons, there was a show, and when Bart was asked to offer thanks to the family at a meal, he said this, "Dear God, we bought all this stuff with our own money, so thanks for nothing." That's a lot of people's mentality. But I'm going to tell you, if it were not for God, you wouldn't have got up this morning. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to get in that vehicle with gas. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to punch that time clock every day. Do you hear me this morning? C.S. Lewis said this. C.S. Lewis observed that grateful people are emotionally healthy people. Praise, he said, C.S. Lewis, almost seems to be inner health made audible. That's pretty good. Here's another thing very quickly. Give thanks in all circumstances. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, just that, be thankful in all circumstances. God's will for you who belong to Jesus. Now think about that for a moment. It doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. I mean, there's things in our life that I'm going to tell you, it's okay to not be thankful that, you don't say thank you for, but we can be thankful in it. In the middle of that storm, in the middle of that, and that comes with being consistent, constant. When we give thanks to God in all circumstances, see, listen to this. God has a greater perspective about what's happening in your life. You got to understand something. God has a bird's eye view, and God is sovereign, and God knows why the bad happens. He knows why the good happens. He orchestrates, and he knows what's going on, and so we give thanks in all circumstances. It may not be our liking, but we give thanks. We give thanks. God has a greater perspective on what's happening. We lack perspective about our lives. We don't have the clarity to look at every single situation with certainty and say why that it's happening. Paul does not say for everything. He says in everything. Evil will happen to believers. Tragedy will happen to believers. And it does not come from God. The good gifts come from God. Well, then why do bad things happen? Bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. And bad things happen because of sin. And listen to me, I'm not telling you, I'm not saying because you're in sin or because you've sinned or made a mistake that all of a sudden you're going to reap some bad stuff. That's not what I mean. We live in a fallen world because of the garden. And because of one man disobedient, sin was brought into the world. And with that sin came tragedy and death and sickness and those types of things. But I'm going to tell you something. That's why we look to eternity. That's why we look to that moment, whether it's the rapture or we cross over into eternity, because at that moment, I'm going to tell you something, we're going to know it was worth it, and we're going to know it's going to be worth it all, and we're going to spend the rest of eternity giving thanks to a God who had a view that we didn't have, and he had his hand on us, and he guided us, and he directed us, and he healed us, and he saved us, and he set us free. The Bible tells us, and we know that God causes everything to work for good for those who love God, who call according to his purpose. So whatever evil, whatever tragedy, I'm going to tell you, God will turn it for good. Whatever the hurt is, God will turn it for good. He didn't say always good stuff's going to happen in your life. What he does say, you know what, yeah, there's sin in the world, and the enemy is after you, and you're going to face some setbacks, and you're going to face some hurts, but I'm going to take all of that junk, and we're going to give the devil a black eye, and I'm going to make it good. Why? Because I'm God, and I'm sovereign, and the enemy doesn't control you that way. We give thanks when things are going well. I got to hurry. We give thanks when everything's going well. Sometimes we forget that. We forget when everything's going awesome, we need to give thanks. We give thanks when everything's going bad, and we give thanks when everything is going good. Recognize the good that has come from bad experience. Some of you, we say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again, that sometimes your greatest hurts then become your greatest ministry. So many times when we face something, go through something, we feel like we're the only ones that ever dealt with that. And I'm going to tell you, that is not true. There's people that have faced that same hurt that you faced. There's people in that same battle that you're facing, that you have faced and gone through. And you can be a place of encouragement. You can be a place of strength. You can be a place of wisdom. And you can pour your life into someone else. Understand the power of giving thanks. Understand the power of giving thanks. Give thanks before you have the answer. There is power in giving thanks before you have the answer. When you ask God and you pray and you make a request to the Lord, say, Lord, thank you in advance for this breakthrough. Thank you in advance for this provision. Because when we do that, it gets our eyes off the circumstance and on to the power of God. Give thanks when you don't feel like it. Don't let your feelings determine how you live life. Let the promises of God and your faith and the power of God's promises determine how you live your life. Give thanks when you experience the small things. You know, and sometimes I forget this. I mean, and usually if you're a person that's half full type of person, half glass, half full, is that that's exactly what we forget to do. We forget to give thanks in the small things. Give thanks for the small things. It's okay. When you turn on that hot water that you actually have, hot water, right? The small things. Give thanks when you experience the small things. I've seen all sorts of people walk through all sorts of horrendous experiences. It always seems to be the case that those who are the most thankful have learned to recognize God's hand and his blessing and his gift and his faithfulness. I see Sister Black here. Some of you may not know who Sister Black is. She's there on the second to last row there. I'm going to tell you, I should be able to say, I'm never amazed, but I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed at some testimony of God's faithfulness and Brother and Sister Black's life. I mean, how time and time and time and time again that she has seen God come through. I mean, I didn't even know recently about a heart thing some years ago, and God touched and healed. It just blows my mind how she has seen the faithfulness of God come through. You know what? When we face stuff, would we rather not hear that diagnosis? Well, duh. You know, it's like you don't go to the doctor. Doctor, I really want to hear some bad news today. I need something to give God thanks in. hello. I mean, that's usually not our position or the way it is, right? But I'm going to tell you, when you hear that bad news, God, I thank you that you're a healer. When I think back of where you were faithful to me here, and you were faithful to me here, and you were faithful to me to here, I know that that's your pattern of faithfulness, and you're going to be faithful to me once again, and I give you thanks. As we read the scripture, I want to just give a little background and then we're going to close. When we look at this scripture, there's something very significant happening. We read this in Chronicles of this, this praise from David that's taking place. You see, there's something very significant that's happening at this moment. Is that what is happening is the ark is coming home. And so, matter of fact, I don't have time to go through all the numbers and everything, but it's, you know, even this first Chronicle 16, you see a parallels in some of the Psalms, Psalms 105 and Psalms 100 and some different Psalms that was pulled out of first Chronicle 16 and them tied together. And there's so much that is happening with this. And the Ark of the Covenant was gone, and David's bringing it back. And he already tried. He already made one attempt. He made one attempt to bring it home, and a servant reached up and touched the Ark. I don't know if you remember the scripture. I'm trying to make it really short and brief, but he touched the Ark, and actually he fell dead for touching that Ark. And remember, the Bible says that David was angry at the Lord because they're trying to bring home God's presence, and just because he tries to keep the ark from falling off the cart, and of course there's a whole other sermon there about the cart needs to be carried, with the poles and not carried on the cart. But anyway, and so David kind of goes to prayer. He goes back to the drawing board, and so he realizes what has to bring the ark back into the city is worship. Is worship, and I'm just amazed by this. And so David goes back, and they go back to get the ark. And so he has his caravan of people. And I want you to think about something. I think it's no small point that for 33 years during the reign of King David, there was no invasion from another army. There was no worship of other idols. They were faithful to God. And they were faithful in his worship. And worship and thanksgiving was so important to David. He appointed people that would record God's deeds so they could be thankful. He appointed other people that would go around. It was their job. Think about this. David appointed people, because you know when you're king, you can do that. He appointed people that they walked around and just gave thanks to God. I mean, I think that's pretty significant. Could you imagine that? I mean, I think that would be pretty cool, having a band of people just walking around your city just giving. Well, actually, we'd probably think they're pretty fruity in today's age, but that's not the right view. You see, we're to proclaim that, and actually we're appointed to do that and to give that. Do you hear me this morning? And so, but they're going to bring the ark back in, and I don't think it's any small thing that they're bringing the ark home. And the Bible tells us this, is that so they're carrying the ark, and they would go six steps. They would walk six steps, and then David sacrificed the bull. He would sacrifice a calf, because remember, this is before the cross. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And so every six steps, this is what would happen. And so just thinking about this, they weren't going that far, but here's what would happen. So a step is about 2 feet and 2 inches. You know, if you take a step, usually, you know, it's about that far. And so they would take six of those steps. They would stop. They would sacrifice. They would worship. So six steps is roughly 13 feet. Stop and build the altar. Sacrifice. Dance before the Lord. Six steps. Repeat. So think about this. 406 steps per mile. 2,437 for 6 miles, because that's how far they're going. Do you know how far it took them to go that 6 miles? It took them at least 52 days. That's how grateful and thankful they were for the symbol of God's presence coming back in to the city. I think that's significant, because here's the deal. As I think there's many times that what we tend to do, we tend to allow the enemy to determine whether we worship or are thankful or not. And the enemy cannot determine that. That is your choice, and that is your decision. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.